This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny First Impressions. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Olea Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Hello, Blessing. It's a pleasure to be here, my dude.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Andy. Andy, right now we're playing Ghost Runner.
Yeah, we're playing now. We're playing Ghost
Runner. All platforms.
Quickly became one of my favorite games ever.
Really?
Like, no joke. I think this game is perfect in so many ways, and I can't wait to kind of get into them with you here. How much have you played, Blessing?
So I'm not that far. I probably played around, I want to say like four or five hours. I'm probably like, I imagine halfway through at this point, because I've heard it's only about 8 hours.
Yeah, I beat it around maybe 9 to 10 hours, but you also have to factor in me talking to my Twitch chat and stuff, so.
And I also feel like I am dying a lot in this game, which is kind of the point of it, right? Like, I keep comparing it to Katana Zero, because Katana Zero is the closest thing I can think of for what this is, but it's essentially that. It's the Hotline Miami. You are spawning in, you're dying, trying again, dying, and you're going run after run trying to get through these combat scenarios where everything is one hit. And so, like, you can die in one hit, you can kill enemies in one hit, and Katana Zero is the one I go to, right, because of the blade and the slowdown time, and you can deflect back bullets if you want to at enemies. Like, it has a lot of and it's also like cyberpunk setting.
Yeah,
so like, it has a lot of Katana Zero type stuff going on with it.
Yeah, I keep telling whenever people walk in, hey, what is this? It's Katana Zero meets Super Hot. The slowdown,
yeah,
of the first person, avoiding bullets in real time. I think the game is sort of perfect in the way that it leads you into learning technique to technique. It does a really good job in pacing you. It does such a damn good job of, like, here's this one mechanic, now let's build on that, and let's keep going. And again, I beat the game in around like 9 to 10 hours, and I never felt, oh, this feels repetitive, or I could do without this section. If anything, I felt that way because maybe the section was too difficult for me. But once you get everything down, Imran put on Twitter, like, man, this game sings. When it's going, it feels great.
Yeah, I want to keep talking about it, but before we do, I want to let people know that, of course, this is Kind of Funny First Impressions. Each episode, we join you to talk about the new and exciting games that we're able to get our hands on. You can catch it right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or on podcast services around the globe. I want to know, for you, when was the moment where you were like, yeah, no, this is one of my favorite games now? Like, what was the moment that hit that for you?
Man, I think it's, obviously, I've been playing this game on PC. It is one of the prettiest games I've ever played.
Yeah, if people are watching the video, right now you're playing on PC.
Yeah, I'm playing on PC, and it is really nicely optimized as well. Obviously, this isn't an open world, right? So things can run a little smoother when you're in a kind of contained area. But I've been averaging 130 frames a second at 1440p on pretty much ultra settings. You could turn on ray tracing. I prefer not to because that lowers down your frame rate quite a bit. You drop down to like 60 at least. But I think it is just the genius of level design and progression and how it always one-ups itself from its last level. And then now they're introducing a new enemy. And once you figure that enemy out, how are they going to make that more difficult by introducing another enemy and a platforming challenge? I think it's just, it's genius, dude.
Yeah, for me, it's the thing that has me really impressed with it is the way in which it feels like a puzzle game that is framed as an action game, where every time they introduce a new enemy or a new element or a new platforming thing, I find myself being in that mode of, all right, how do I take out this guy, or how do I get over this obstacle?
Yeah,
like there's one enemy that has like a long jump, like they'll jump to you and their whole thing is they'll melee you, they get close to you, and it took me maybe like 10 to 15 minutes just like dying over and over again before I figured out how to kill them. And then like once I figure it out, I am then spending even more time trying to master that, and that's the thing that I both like about this game but also frustrates me at the same time is it is ruthless. Like I feel I have died so much, which again is the point of the game. I've died so much, but there are certain points where I'm like, all right, fuck, like how did that kill me? Like was I really supposed to die there? And as part of that is the game is brutally difficult, but then another part of it is very fast, and like you kind of have to know the stress to get around certain things. Like Imran and me were talking about this game earlier, and I was talking about how I feel like there's certain times where I should be dodging a thing and it almost feels like the bullet is curving to hit me, and Imran's like, hey, you got to know that like as soon as the bullet leaves an enemy's gun, that's when
you're clear.
That's when you're clear, right? Yeah. If the enemy hasn't fired yet and you're still trying to dodge, he's gonna shoot you. He's gonna kill you. You're done. Which is the thing that I didn't realize until you told me that.
Yeah, and I think they do a brilliant job of sort of showing you died here, and if you keep on doing that, you will keep dying. And that seems to be pretty consistent all the way through. The level of enemy variety I think is really cool that I wasn't expecting. And that does add a lot of challenge later on where, you know, the enemies with the Uzis at one point, it's like, God, these are super difficult to deal with. And then there are, it really, again, it is like a puzzle game. You are failing and failing and failing and failing all over again. It's a couple of the levels have taken me over 100 tries, but the quick restarts... Yeah. The quick restarts are awesome.
There's no loading between, like, after death. Like, you're just right back into it, which is much needed.
And
Celeste.
I think that's so important because, you know, somebody was mentioning in my Twitch chat the other day, like, I just can't with this game. I just keep on dying. It's like, well, that's the point because of the quick reloads. But also, if you were to... this isn't a Souls game where when you die, you load... You run back to your body. Yeah. You do that. Like
you lose everything.
Death is very much a part of the core of this game, and you're gonna keep on learning to figure out this puzzle. And I think that's what makes it really special and really fun. And yeah, finding out the ways and kind of, all right, this way has failed for me 6 times because I can't get around this one enemy. What if this happens? What if I do this? You know. We're unfortunately one of the slower parts of the game that is not showing off a whole lot of the action-packed stuff. This is more of the sort of puzzle platformy elements of the game that don't drag on longer than they need to, which I appreciate because you eventually do kind of get right back into the action.
And I feel like this is kind of necessary too because I feel like between action I need that palate cleanser because because when you're in it, you are dying over and over and over again to the point where I know for me, I can even get frustrated with myself because I'm the kind of person when I'm playing these games, I can be stubborn and just do the same strat over and over and be like, no, this is going to work the 8th time. No, this is going to work the 9th time. And this is the kind of game that'll make you stop in your tracks and go, all right, what am I doing wrong here? Where do I need to slow down? Where do I need to take a different direction? And yeah, like that's kind of why I like these platforming sections in between because they give your brain a break to like, just focus on something else, right? And like the platforming, I would say, is also a challenge too. Like there were a few times earlier in the video where you fell, and like it doesn't. It's not even like a fuck I feel kind of thing. It's like a I just gotta pay attention.
Yeah, I just gotta like loading is instant. Not be a dummy. Yeah. As far as story goes, don't really care about what's really happening. I am not playing this game for this. I'm not addicted to this game for the story. Now for clarification, I have beaten this game. And before the final cutscene triggers, because I beat the final boss, before the final cutscene triggers, my game crashes. And it seems to be something having to do, you know, PC gaming, bro, you know. Yeah. It seems to be have something to do with either, like, your GPU overclocking, or if you have certain programs running, things like that can kind of mess with the game. So it crashes for me. I had to look up the final cutscene. And... Yesterday, yeah. I'll just
wait. So you couldn't? Could you not reload the checkpoint?
No.
Damn.
It would start. It would start me off at the same spot because of the cloud save.
I had a weird thing go, and it sounds like it might be somewhat similar, but I've been playing this game on PS4, and I got to a checkpoint where I can't remember what I did. I did something weird, and then I got caught in a checkpoint loop that, like, I got spawned. Well, I would keep getting spawned pretty much outside of the world, and it was toward the end of a level, and so I had to, like, replay a whole level, and that level was, like, 30 to 40 minutes. It's somewhat of a similar thing of me kind of getting stuck in a place and being like, oh, that sucks that there's
I'd rather not be here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, like, having to replay that part of the game. But, like, it kind of is what it is when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I do think that I have enjoyed just going back and, you know, so basically I got to a point where I wanted to do a test stream yesterday to test out video quality stuff. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to restart the game, and then it tells you you're gonna lose all your save data. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I totally wouldn't mind playing this all over again because it is so fun. And when you are on a roll, you feel like the coolest dude in the world. Like, when you are on a roll and hitting all the spots and dodging the right things, there have been so many moments that just you feel like an absolute badass. And it's got to do, like, for example, right there, Blessing just crashed.
Again, it is what it is. PC gaming,
independent
development, like all the different things that go into this, you know, it's going to lead to bugs happening in certain games every now and then.
Yeah, I love the upgrading. I love that you basically it's Tetris and you have you can upgrade your map and deflect and dash, and yeah,
I've been fucking up and I've not been paying attention to the upgrade stuff. I think I upgraded maybe once or twice. I want to, when you're able to boot back up, also make sure to share it with me again.
Oh, that's right. I'm already back in. I didn't even show you. I haven't even shared it with you. There you go.
Yeah,
my bad.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so
yeah,
later on, obviously, you start to clear up a lot of more parts in your upgrade tree, but essentially any spots with the lightning bolts are able to be placed on. You can place upgrades there. And because of that, you can, like, rotate the pieces and kind of make stuff to fit.
Yeah, so it's like a Tetris system, almost like Resident Evil.
It's like Resident Evil, yeah. Make the parts fit or whatever. And obviously the abilities that mean more and the abilities that are a little bit more OP will take up a lot more spaces. And later on, you will have there's a dash later on where you can dash through enemy projectiles, which is kind of OP, but it's a lot of, like, squares. It's a lot of points. So it takes up a decent amount of real estate on your upgrades.
This is where I got sent back when my game crashed, or not when it crashed, when I had to reload the level. This is the level that I had to do over again. And I was like, fuck, I hated it at first, like these grappling hook things where you have to, like, run and then, like, pull yourself at the same time, because I found myself going like all different directions. But now that I'm used to it, I actually kind
of
love it.
Oh yeah, like, a lot of it is one thing I didn't notice until the very, very end is it is very much wherever you're pointing, that's where your body's going to go. And I didn't really realize that at the time because I just always assumed that my WASD keys were kind of dictating what direction I'd go in. And then by the end, there are some really challenging platforming levels where there's a lot of side platforms that look like this, and there are fireballs that will hurt you, and they are moving by you. They're coming at you like a treadmill almost, and you have to go left to right to dodge the projectiles on them. So, like, they keep on finding really interesting ways to up the difficulty, but I never once in this game have felt like, fuck, this is too hard, I hate this. Like, I still find it fun, and I still feel like being able to master it feels so good when you can finally get it down.
Especially because I think a big part of it is it's a really fun kind of difficulty where you aren't losing progress, you aren't losing, like, items or getting sent back, like, all the way back. You're getting sent back, like, a few feet, and, like, you are doing, unless it's, like, a combat encounter where you're getting sent back to the beginning of the combat encounter, but combat encounters don't last more than, like, maybe five dudes, you know, in certain cases, like, maybe seven, eight, depending on, like, where you're at. But it never does feel like I gotta redo this whole thing again, unless you're in my case where I had to restart the level. But, you know, by design, it is trial and error, but really fun trial and error, where the goal of the game moment to moment is, how do I get past this situation? How do I get past this room? Which is my favorite kind of difficulty, because, like, at that point, like, I, you know, die as many times as I want. You know, I never feel frustrated with it unless exactly. I really just want to get past a point.
Yeah, there have been times, and it really reminds me of Mario Maker, where it is the insanity of me trying the same thing and getting frustrated, and then I play worse because I am frustrated and trying to force myself through these areas where it's like, yeah, you're dying because you're getting frustrated and playing worse than you were and kind of like not caring, like, oh, fuck this shit, I hate it. It's like, no, just, you know, be patient or whatever. And by the way, a little Cyberpunk reference here. They are a Polish developer, I believe, as well. Yeah, a little, we have a city to wake the fuck up, samurai, with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that was the Keanu Reeves line, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I just think this game does an incredible job. Like, to me, it is a must-buy game for me. I could not recommend this game more. I believe it's $30.
I ended up buying it because, like, legit, I emailed them for the code, and I knew at a certain point I was probably gonna get the code, but it was launch day, and I was like, no, I really want to play this game right now. So I was like, yeah, I'll just pay the $30. I don't care, man. I want to play this game.
Yeah, and I think movement and everything just feels so damn good. The upgrades that you end up getting ability wise, I've died like 3 times there. By the way, I always die there.
I died a lot during this section.
I overshoot my jump. I think this game, I was telling Tim this, and I was telling people in my stream this, that this game is almost perfect as a tutorial for how to learn mouse and keyboard.
That was gonna be my next question. Like, you've been playing with mouse and keyboard, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's an exercise, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like you went to a coach and they were like, all right, play Ghost Runner for this many times. This is your training for today or whatever. Because the level of, it's really clever in the way that the difficulty and movement does ramp up, where at the beginning, learning how to like dodge left and right and stuff can be kind of confusing. But once you get it down, it feels mm-hmm. great. And I really do think that for people who are really worried about learning how to play on mouse and keyboard, I think this is a good entryway and almost an instruction manual to show you, you know, here's how it can work when you finally start getting stuff going, and it feels awesome.
Have you played it on controller at all?
I have not, no.
I've been playing it on PS4 controller, and I almost feel like I am doing myself a disservice playing it on a controller instead of a mouse and keyboard. Like, the amount of accuracy that I feel like the game asks for would probably be better on mouse and keyboard, even though I've also having conversations with Imran about it. Damn, you like saved yourself there.
No.
having conversations with Imran about it too, like he was saying that even on mouse and keyboard, like the control scheme seems like a lot for what you're doing in the game.
I do think that like playing on keyboard or on controller, there have been some moves that I've been able to pull off where I'm like, man, how would I have done that on control pad?
On controller, you know? Everything is mapped to the shoulder buttons, and so like it's R1 to jump, R2 to swing your sword, L1, what is L1? I forget. L1 is like slow time for the dash, and then L2 is your grapple. And then like the face, you don't really use the face buttons that much. I think it's like,
oh really?
X is probably your action.
Well, I guess
button.
You always got to keep your fingers on the
analog
stick. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so like with that, I almost feel like I have to rethink about the way in which I control a first person game, where R1 to jump is like the main thing that I really had to get used to. And I even looked at the first thing I did when I started up the game and I realized what the controls were, was I opened up the control scheme and I was like, how can I get this as close as possible to Mirror's Edge? And there wasn't really an adequate way for me to do. But like, it works. Once you get used to it, it works. It's just one of those things where it's like, fuck, I don't think there is a perfect control scheme for this game, for how it controls and how it plays, at least on controller. On mouse and keyboard, it seems like it'd make a lot more sense than controller.
Yeah, I mean, there are some movements you end up having to pull off. Later on, you will start to encounter enemies that that have a sort of circular shield around them, like almost a semicircle shield around them, so they're vulnerable from the back.
Oh, yeah.
And
like a shield.
In order to get to them, you have to. There's a lot of grappling involved. And the world, you know, obviously I think the world has really awesome level design at points, and it makes you, I did not see this guy. It makes you kind of, you have to grapple behind them, and then kind of take him out from there. But there have been moments where I am just straight up grapple, like doing 360s and stuff. And I have wondered, like, man, how much harder would this be on control pad?
Yeah, it is. It is pretty difficult. You mentioned this earlier, but yeah, the story is kind of whatever. Like, it is very much a, you're a ghost runner, and that pretty much means you're a badass, invisible assassin kind of dude. I guess you get rebooted and for whatever reason, and there's like a guy who seems shady that you're talking to on the radio, but then like another person, Zoe, I think you were just talking to, who's like, seems cool, and like humanity is kind of fucked up or whatever. It's stuff that in theory, like, all the different stuff as a backdrop to what you're doing, I'm like, all right, yeah, this is cool. Like, I'm not really paying attention, but that's because I just don't care at all about what's going on.
Yeah, I wish
I cared more, because for all the references I make to Katana Zero when talking about this game, one of the things I really loved about Katana Zero was the story. I thought the story in Katana Zero was super cool.
It's a masterpiece. You know, I think Katana Zero is like, I think it's so difficult to make a 2D side-scrolling action game be compelling story-wise, and Katana Zero pulled off, like, Katana Zero's on Game Pass, by the way, and I keep telling people, like, go fucking download that game, because that game's amazing, and I kind of feel you, Bless. I feel like I wish I cared about this more. I think it is kind of, anybody with a brain hears the main guy talk to you, and you go, ah, he's a bad guy. He's got to be a bad guy, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, you're like, there's no way that this guy is up to good compared to Zoe over here, who sounds like she is, like, Elena from Uncharted or whatever, right? She's, like, chill. Or not chill, but she's like, she seems good. Like,
she's the emotional center of it all, kind of. Yeah, she's exactly. Kind of keeping you in check, you know.
But yeah, I'm definitely with you that one. Everybody should play Katana Zero, but then also, yeah, like what, like Katana Zero, it's kind of like Metal Gear Solid esque in its story, where they're playing around with you, you know, they're using the premise to like do cool things, get the therapist character, and you're always like, what's this guy's deal? And you have the drug and all that stuff.
When
and
I question here, like, what's real, that I think that's like perfect in a video game.
Like, what's real or what's not, especially for this kind of setting and like this Ghost Runner thing, where it's like, okay, yeah, you got rebooted. Is everything you're seeing real? Like, are you being controlled by the wrong people? Like, what's going on? And there are hints of that I'm sensing as I'm playing the game within the first few levels, but I so far it doesn't really feel like it's going to be delivered on. Maybe it does toward the end. You know better than me, but I don't know. Right now this game for me is completely a gameplay experience, which I'm fine with.
I think it's totally pure gameplay. I do think at the very end I didn't really feel anything except for the fact that they do a cool movie style thing where you go, oh man, I don't know what the hell's going on, but that's kind of sick, you know? Like, I don't think it does anything story or plot wise that's mind blowing. You got to assume that stuff was all sort of secondary when they were making the game, because they knew we need to nail the movement, we need to nail the action, we need to make you feel like an awesome cyborg ninja, and I think they succeeded on that tenfold, man. Again, to anybody on the fence about this, I think this is like a must absolute play. Please play this game. I want more. I want DLC. I want a sequel, man. Oh, damn. I didn't
realize. Also, shout out to the music, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, get out of here, dude. The music's so goddamn good, dude.
It is the exact kind of music, too, that I want from this type of game. It is that Hotline Miami, Katana Zero. You're the music dude, so you know genres better than me. But
I just fucking electronica. I don't know, like, it's just
it's electronic with like a lot of bass.
It makes you bob your head and you feel what did I say? I think like you feel like you're doing drugs in a sweaty future club.
Yes, exactly. No, that's exactly it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like somebody from across the club is like making a deal that's gonna get somebody killed, and you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
And yeah, it feels awesome in every sense of the way. Yeah, it's just an amazing game that I hope everybody plays, because I want this developer to succeed. I think for this game to be sort of, I think, their first attempt at a game like this, I think they absolutely nailed it. Again, if you have the means to play this on PC, this game is stunning on PC. Like, no joke, I think this is. When we see Cyberpunk running at like ultra settings, I think it's going to be similar to this, where the environmental work, the lighting in this game, everything is just so beautiful and so well crafted. I could not recommend it more, man.
Do you know, and I could probably just look this up, but do you know there is a next gen version of this game announced?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like an optimized version, because I wonder if that would run like this runs pretty smooth, but I wonder like then on next gen, like how much smoother this thing could run, because I might even.
Yeah, like, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I gotta assume, man, they'd be crazy not to.
Yeah,
I think right because now, it is so late in the cycle, and I think this will be a game that maybe hopefully catches on later on. Because it does have like first page on the Epic Store, and I hope more eyes are on it. Mm-hmm.
They've announced that Ghost Runner will be released on PS5, Xbox Series X, and S in 2021, and it is a free upgrade too.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Please do that, everybody. Oh, I died right there.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
I think this is an absolute must-play, and I don't really. We could probably wrap up this episode, Bless, because I'm just gonna keep on gushing about how badass it is and how amazing feel.
Is there a trick you use for this area? Because I realized as I was going through it that there is a way to pretty much like skip certain portions of this climb by like looking upwards. I think from here,
just grabbing all the blue stuff.
Yeah, you're already past the point. Actually, now I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, I ended up like you could kind of save yourself by grabbing these platforms or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there's a secret down here. Yeah, a little secret.
Yeah. Now you're blasting through this area way faster than I did it. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you think of Ghost Runner. It's out now. It came out last week, I want to say.
Yeah.
It came out recently. I'll just say that came out recently. It's available pretty much everywhere except on Switch. And again, yeah, let us know. I think this game is really cool. Andy obviously thinks this game is really cool. You should probably check it out. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.